Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everybody, welcome back to Garibaldi Reds, a Nottingham Forest podcast. Myself, Max Hayes, and Dave Asprey here to preview a big game at the City Ground tomorrow, Nottingham Forest v Liverpool. Do you know what, Dave? I was thinking this morning, I woke up and I've actually got a bit of a spring in my step, not because of the kind of Forest results at the minute, but I just thought, do you know what? We're playing Man United in Liverpool in the space of a few days.
Yeah.
And compared to the seasons before, when we had all the turmoil and playing Rotherham and Blackburn on a Wednesday and then a Saturday. Yeah. No disrespect to those teams, but it's almost nice to it's almost nice to be here, isn't it? And nice to play the likes of Liverpool at the City Ground for a big game.
In with the big boys, mate. We craved it, you know, we craved it. I craved it, Max, from the years before you were even born, my young friend. You know what I mean? It's been so long. We wanted it for so long. And, you know, that's why I desperately don't want us to give it away or have it taken away from us. I mean, events will be events. I mean, I was saying to somebody last night on a show, you know, I have absolutely no control over what Nottingham Forest do as a business or as a team. I just sit in the stands and you get on the ride, you hang on for dear life, whichever twist and turn it takes, and you end up at a point and then you end up at another point, and then actually if we get some points that would be great, but you know what I'm saying, points in time. And it's great. I mean, no disrespect to Blackburn, and I'm going to mention Blackburn just off the bat. They are the best team I've seen this week. I thought Blackburn against Newcastle the night were absolutely tremendous. So I've got to give some credit to Blackburn Rovers. John Eustace doing a good job. Why did Birmingham ever get rid of him? Maybe they were a bit starstruck. I don't know. But I'm digressing. I said to somebody a couple of weeks ago, you know, a week where we get Aston Villa away, Manchester United at home, and Liverpool at home. I mean, you know, in terms of there's three tough games as you can get. But it's what we, as a club, as a fan base of a footballing family, it's what we, you know, I'd like to think we all wanted. So we can't complain now we've got it.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. We are live on Facebook and YouTube if everyone wants to get comments in. And I don't know, ask me and Dave some difficult questions on a Friday morning. Not too difficult, though, please. We'll just
discuss Forest, Dave.
They'd never ask that. We're here to discuss Forest Liverpool, and also we'll touch on the news that came out yesterday about the City Ground redevelopment and the delay with the council and possibly looking elsewhere. We'll touch on that later on. Dave, let's just quickly cast our minds back to Wednesday night, was it? Yeah, it was Wednesday night against United in the Cup. And despite the I wouldn't say negativity from the fan base, but despite a few, you know, I think everyone being a little bit downbeat that we didn't win in the end. But another positive cup run for me, more minutes in the lads' legs, which might come back to bite us. And also, I think to hold Manchester United for 88 minutes and almost really match them shows where we've come as a football club, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does, mate. I think it shows it shows how far we come from Saturday, because Saturday at Villa Park was really trying. You know, it was the first half was it was very difficult to watch. You know, all this claret and blue joy around us, and we were there, and you're like, you stand there stock still, and you don't know what to say or do, and you know, we were outclassed on that day. I thought I'm now absolutely convinced that Aston Villa are the fourth best team in the country. And they were far too good for us. We fought back quite manfully. And then we did, you know, did our usual. We give a silly goal away and help them, you know, back into a two-goal lead. So comparing that with Wednesday night, I think there was so much more to enthuse about on Wednesday night than there had been on Saturday afternoon. I felt on the Saturday coming out of Villa Park, there wasn't anybody you could say for us who'd had a really good game. Wednesday night, I came out thinking, well, you couldn't say there was anybody who had a real stinker for us. I thought we played some good football. I thought we created some chances. You know, with some shooting boots applied here and there, we might have taken the lead. I thought we were the better team for the first hour. And then I thought United got on the ball a bit more. Bruno Fernandes, when he'd stopped being a pantomime dame. Honestly, you know, if anybody needed a psychiatrist's couch, it's that lad. You know, they started to play. Casemiro came into the game and McTominay came into the game. I thought they had more of the ball the last half hour. And we were just sort of, we didn't keep it very well. And when we cleared it, we invited them back on. I mean, from where I sat in the Trent end, the goal looked a bad one. We're still very vulnerable from set pieces. I believe we have a set piece coach. I'd like to see what his remit is, see what he's getting paid, because he doesn't seem to be paying much in terms of a dividend at the moment. And, you know, I thought we deserved extra time. And then if we'd gone to a penalty shootout, you know, we're not bad at those. So we could have actually made progress. But I think Nuno was right in saying afterwards there were good things to take out of it. I thought Divock Origi looked quite sharp. I thought Nico played well again. Harry Toffolo, yeah, I think he's the most improved player in our club, both as a footballer and as a human being. I think he's a real asset to us. You know, I think we definitely set up wrong at Aston Villa. You know, you don't play a centre half at left back and then allow Leon Bailey to have the run of the place. So I thought Harry did a good job when he came in. Murillo and Felipe were better on Wednesday night, but they couldn't have been much worse than they were on Saturday. You know, for them two to be hooked tells you everything. So we have a long way to go to be, I think, still a genuine Premier League team. But, you know, Wednesday was an improvement on Saturday by quite a considerable margin, I would say, Max.
Yeah, I think we're showing improvement. It's quite funny, Dave, you mentioned there about, you never know, we might have deserved extra time. I was thinking to myself, extra time and penalties. I wonder what time I'll get back to Manchester on Thursday morning. And yes, it was. I wouldn't say it was a relief that Forest lost the game, because I'd never want that. But I did feel better when I got back at 12:15 rather than probably 2:00. I actually... Do you know what, Dave? The M6 was closed. So when I drove past, when I drove into Manchester, I actually had to drive past Old Trafford, and I was thinking, wow, I've done, you know, I've like almost done the stadiums, but it just made me laugh half asleep.
I think, Max, there's this question of priorities again, isn't it, really? I mean, my view is that if somebody said to me, you can beat Manchester United in an FA Cup fifth round tie, or you can go to Kenilworth Road in a fortnight and get 3 points there, I want 3 points at Kenilworth Road. You know, there is the romance of the FA Cup. We grew up, you know, with it as part of our footballing environment. But these days, league survival and league position is everything. So, you know, it would have been nice to go through. We'd have gone through to meet this lot that we meet tomorrow again. So it might have proved to be a poison chalice, but it's about league points. And it's about, Max, without wandering too far off the subject, it's about getting enough league points that if we are to have some taken away from us, we can absorb that loss.
Yeah. Let's quickly touch on that points deduction, actually, before we look at the Liverpool game. This week, Everton handed back 4 points. Their charges are a lot worse than Forest. And I'm not going to go into detail because it's an incredibly complex situation. And me and Dave probably aren't the best people to talk about it. But what I think gives me a little bit of faith, Dave, and I'm sure it maybe gives you some faith, is that if Everton have got these 4 points back for charges originally, not focus on these charges they're up against with Forest again, and their charges are a lot worse than Forest's charge, really. So it does give you faith that I don't think it will be any more than 6 points is how I'm feeling at the moment. And I think we'll say it quietly, but I honestly feel like we might be all right.
I hope so, Max. I hope that your youthful optimism becomes a
It's Friday. I thought I'd be optimistic.
I'm resigned to a loss of six, to be honest with you, Max. But as you say, context is all. You know, Everton have had some given back, so there is a degree of leniency involved in that. And, you know, while it kind of, oh, God, that pushes us down the table, it's only put Everton 1 point ahead of us, you know. So I mean, all my take on it, and I may be completely wide of the mark, is that Forrest did the right thing with regard to the Brennan-Johnson deal and the money therein, but they didn't do it in the time allowed. That is my understanding. I hammer me if I'm wrong, please do. But it's a timing issue, and I believe timing rules are to be changed again at some point, and I think that gives Mr. DiMarco some fuel to say, well, you know, if it's a moving feast, Nottingham Forest, we're working within a moving feast. You know, there will be, rules have been broken. There will be some kind of sanction. Personally, I think it'll be 6 points. But, you know, Mr. DiMarco, who I'm sure, I believe is the guy charged with our legal abilities, is famous for not having lost a case. He certainly helped Harry Toffolo with Harry's issues. And look at the effect that's had on Harry Toffolo. So, you know, based on the little I know of him and the situation, I have confidence that we've got a good guy in there. But, you know, my backstop is, I think it'll be 6 points, Max. And then anything, you know, from there, well, you just got to, like I say, we're just on the ride. We've just got to take it and deal with it, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we do. An interesting situation. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it really...
It could do with being sorted out quicker. For us as Nottingham Forest people, but for every club, you know, it affects Luton Town, it affects Everton. They don't think it affects them, but it does affect Manchester City. Because I think we're almost like we're the guinea pigs before they get to the real big one. If they ever bother to get to the real big one. There's 115 over there. There's one here, two at Everton. I believe Chelsea have got some issues to answer. There was talk of, I saw one about Villa maybe. You know, what you can't have, Max, is you can't have, say, a team, whoever it might be, being relegated at the end of the season and then points being moved about to then say, well, actually, you're not relegated and somebody who finished above the line now is below the line. It's unethical and it's unhealthy. And, you know, if you're going to take points off, take them off now so we know where we stand. That is my personal view. And then right, clear the deck. Like they took, to be fair, they took 10 off Everton and Everton knew where they were. And to be fair to Everton, they went and got them back within 3 weeks because they went on this tear. You know, they used it as a cause and as a motivation, you know. So, but I do worry about Forest. I do worry about our ability to get what we need to cover any potential loss of points down the line, I'll be honest.
We will certainly see. You know, you touched on Mr. DiMarco being the kind of messy of sports lawyers, Dave. I'm going to call you the messy of Garibaldi Red, the messy of podcast.
Mate, I'm just messy. Let's put it like that.
Right.
Although I've had a wash and cleaned my teeth this morning. Yeah, I'll tell you that now. So not that bad.
I hope so. Right. Let's touch on tomorrow's game. And again, it's another big game. It's something Forest could do with getting points against. Mm. This is a good time to play Liverpool. They've, you know, had a similar rest period to Forest with the FA Cup. Obviously, then winning the Carabao Cup, so celebrations. I mean, to be fair, they've got a lot of kids they're playing at the minute, and they have a lot of injuries. You know, this isn't the it's a problem Forest have faced, but maybe not Liverpool for a while. So they've got a lot of players out on the sidelines. Do you think this is a good time to play them, Dave, tomorrow?
I don't know, Max, to be honest with you, mate. I mean, you could look at the injury list and you could say that, well, Mo maybe might be missing and Darwin might be out and Trent's out and Ryan Gravenberch is out. Little Diogo Jota, who always is a thorn in our side, he's out. You know, I just don't know. I mean, clubs these days give out injury information, and we know this, you know, from our own experience, especially with Mr. Cooper. You know, you'd have a view as to who was injured going into a match, and then you get there an hour before kick on, oh, blimey, he's made an incredible recovery. Lazarus is back in the team. Do you know what I mean? And so tomorrow, it would not surprise me tomorrow to see Darwin back and Mo back. The others, I think the others are quite long-term. Szoboszlai is a big loss to them. But, you know, you look at them, I watched that Carabao Cup final, and, you know, it's great to see kids being given a chance in any sphere of life. Get young people in. You know, it's the young people that propel the world around, not old farts like me. Get these kids in. And, you know, there's stuff about Klopp I don't like. I think he can be a little bit juvenile at times, a little bit over hysterical. But he put these kids on. You know, Bradley is the best of the bunch. Dan's came on, scored twice the other night against Southampton. Kumas, his dad was a proper footballer, you know, so he's going in the right way. And then there's Clark, Kwanzaa, you know, the five of them. I mean, basically, it was Liverpool under-10s beat £1 billion worth at Wembley last week. And the £1 billion worth really just looked second rate to these kids who all, you know, I thought it was brilliant management. I'm not a fan of Klopp, but I thought it was brilliant management. Get them in, blood them, let them understand what it's like to play at Wembley, let them understand what it's like to play for Liverpool, that incredible history they've got, that presence, that status they've got. And, you know, if these lads, these young lads play tomorrow against Forest, they're going to have no fear. They're going to really fancy it. And you know, they're first in the league. They're above Manchester City, which, if you're above Manchester City, in my view, you're a good side. We're 17th. And while the table is prone to flux at the moment with these deductions and things, it still tells a tale. And it tells a tale that Liverpool are a long way above us. I mean, as I say, Villa, who I, like I say, I'm convinced are the fourth best team in the country now. But I think it's the top three, Villa, and then a gap to say, I don't know, Tottenham, Brighton, United. You know, Wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves are playing some good football. Wolves are the FA Cup fly in the ointment. They get past Coventry. They could be dangerous to anybody, Wolves, on their day.
Yeah, I think Gary O'Neill deserves a lot of credit, in fairness.
He does indeed.
Very
he does indeed.
Bournemouth to get rid of him.
Yeah, but, you know, with us, we are what we are and they are what they are. And it's, you know, taking away the partisan, the tribal, it's very difficult to see us winning tomorrow. But it might be a better time to play them, given that they've got senior professionals missing, than it might otherwise have been. But we're still in for an almighty task, Max, to be honest with you.
Get the kids in. I think that was that's our motto of this podcast with me host.
Unless we play, we could play Joe Gardner, we could play Zach Abbott, we could play little Josh Powell, we could chuck our kids in. Because I do believe, I have a feeling. I was looking at every now and then. I go on the website, Max, and have a look at the under 21s results and the under 18s results and the ladies results and all this kind of thing. And I have a feeling that our kids beat the Liverpool kids or drew with them recently.
Yeah,
I'm
possibly.
Sure they had a good result. So maybe the way to go tomorrow is Nuno kind of says to our, you know, general starting man, you lads have a Saturday off. And we'll play the kids. Do you know what I mean? Let the Forest kids have a go at the Liverpool kids. You know what I mean? But now it's as I say, mate. It's a daunting prospect, but it's a great footballing prospect, Max. As you alluded to before, mate. These are the kind of games we craved. You know, when I was growing up, you weren't here, Max. Forest Liverpool games. They were always the game of the weekend or the game of the night. Whenever they took place, they were big games. For many, many years, it was a proper rivalry, Liverpool-Forest, especially in those Clough years where we kind of copped a snook at them and, you know, pushed them off the top spot. So it's a throwback to bygone glories, really, mate, tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. Right, let's read out some comments. Kieran says, depends who Liverpool play, but can't see us win. Hope we do. Mark says, morning, lads. See you outside the boot room tomorrow. Dave, you've got a fan club.
It's top bloke, Mark.
Yes, good stuff. Hello, Mark. Good morning. Right, let's talk about... I mean, I want to touch on the proposed City Ground kind of news with this, but just finally then, Dave, before we move on from the Liverpool game, easier said than done. How do Forest stop the likes of Salah if they're playing tomorrow, Nunez, but also a very young and incredibly, I'm sure, enthusiastic Liverpool squad given their recent success. How do Forest stop them tomorrow? And I mean, does a game like this almost suit Forest in a way? Home at the City Ground, huge atmosphere behind them, we'd hope. And Forest to almost launch counter-attacking football, which has probably been our strength most recently, and we saw glimpses of it against United and teams such as Newcastle when we went away from home.
I think, it's unlikely, but it's possible, Max. And there's a blueprint for it from October of the year before. They came to our place, they were riding high, we were rock bottom. Not rock bottom tomorrow, but as was the case then and is the case tomorrow, there is no expectation on Forest. Nobody in a professional pundit capacity anywhere on this planet, a lot of us will, because we love our team and we're like, yeah, we're optimistic or whatever. Yeah, we fancy Forest to win. But a professional, hard-hearted pundit is going to give Forest no chance tomorrow. Forest will be completely disregarded. And we can use that to our advantage. You know, it's like, it's all on Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool, the pressure is on them tomorrow. They have to get 3 points. You know, they know that it's the Manchester derby on Sunday. Now, if United, by some hook or crook, were to manage to go to the Etihad and stop City, then Liverpool are in prime position. And Arsenal are going to Sheffield United, where they're probably likely to win on Monday night. So, you know, all the pressure tomorrow is on Liverpool. There's no pressure on Forest, really, because nobody expects us to win. Nobody thinks, you know, it's so unlikely. But it was so unlikely in October of 2022 or whenever it was. You know, with that sunny day where Steve Cook volleyed it back and Taiwo stuck it in the back of the net. And you know, it's football, and daft stuff happens in football. You know, improbables sometimes become reality. And it is an improbable tomorrow. But I remember that game against Liverpool, Max, that day. And I remember it was Cheku Kiarte, Remo Freuler and Yatesy just bullied Liverpool's midfield to the point where that day their own, you know, Liverpool's best attacking threats that day were James Milner, who played right back, and Andy Robertson, who was left back. I remember Mo Salah just disappeared in that game. And they were, Forest just were like, no, we're not going to be pushed about by you. And they got in their faces, Forest did. I actually think that day against Liverpool, Max, it wasn't a thing of finesse or, you know, beauty or anything. It was a, you know, brute force and ignorance. Forest got in their faces and pushed them about. And Forest, if they're going to have any kind of say in this game tomorrow, Forest have to kind of stamp their authority on it, you know, physically. Because if it becomes a pure football match, Liverpool are going to win. They have better players than we. That's where they're top, and we're 17. But Forest can bridge that gap. I mean, if you like what Blackburn did to Newcastle tonight, Blackburn bridged the gap. Blackburn should have beaten Newcastle, in my view. You know, Blackburn should have won in normal time. But Blackburn made Newcastle. If you'd have looked at that Blackburn Newcastle game on Tuesday night, which I thought was a superb game of football, you wouldn't have known which was the Premier League team and which was the team 16th in the Championship, because Blackburn physically, spiritually, closed that divide between them and Newcastle. And Newcastle were really uncomfortable. And if Forest can do similar things tomorrow to Liverpool, as Blackburn did to Newcastle, then they have a chance. Yeah. However microscopic that might be, you know, it's two teams of 11 human beings. There are imperfections on both sides, but, you know, logic suggests that Liverpool win. But, you know, you just never know, Max. But Forest have to announce their presence. They must start the game really well, Forest. If, say, the first 10 or 15 minutes, Forest make Liverpool uncomfortable, the rest of us get in on it as well. And that rest of us in the City Ground, which tomorrow the atmosphere is going to be great, because again, it's a game everybody wants. You know, there'll be little ones going to the game. Maybe there'll be some little ones going to their first ever game at the City Ground, and they'll remember for the rest of their lives seeing Forest play mighty Liverpool, right? If Forest need to get us engaged in the first 10 or 15, if we're engaged, it might become uncomfortable for Liverpool. If Liverpool score early, then I kind of dread to think what's going to happen, Max. So, yeah, Forest can get something, but they really have to. They have to basically play better than they've played all season. Maybe with the exception of that second half against Newcastle, mate. You know.
Yeah.
But I think they had identified that day in Newcastle that there was, you know, a lack of pace at the back. Liverpool would be far cannier, I think, you know. Especially with Van Dijk's in good, great form at the moment. I think he's a world-class player, Virgil. So,
yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, very tough indeed. Be sure to get your comments in about how you think tomorrow will go. I'll be shocked to see maybe any predictions for Forest win. But as Dave says, you just never know. Right. Let's touch on the Forest Stadium redevelopment plans and the news that kind of came out of nowhere yesterday that was reported originally by the BBC. And forgive me for reading, for those who don't know, that was basically about that Forest could scrap the new stadium redevelopment plans and relocate due to a row with the local council over simply the rent. The City Ground site that is currently leased on by the Nottingham Council is there, and it's got 33 years left on its current deal, so a long time. I'll be maybe, no, I won't be Dave's age by the time it ends.
I'll be gone. I won't be around, Max.
Oh, that's not, yeah.
Max, if I keep going to the gym, maybe I will be. I don't know.
You never know, Dave. You never know.
33 years, Max, I will be 93 then.
You will. So fingers crossed he finds some way out of it at the minute. It talks about an extension of Stored over the authorities' demands because the current £250,000 rent is to be increased to £1 million. Forest, by the looks of it, don't want to pay that. The council remains committed to the further negotiations. I mean, Nottingham Council is in a bit of a difficult place at the moment. Various other things, they've declared bankruptcy and all sorts. Club chairman, recently appointed club chairman, Tom Cartledge, who's done a really good job so far at Forest, and he's put some good plans in place, said unless there was significant progress with the council, they may have to look elsewhere. There's an interview with him later on tonight on the news. So, it kind of came out of nowhere, and it's a bit interesting. And of course, the City Ground redevelopment's been talked for a long time. You know, it's been talked about for a long time now, and then more plans were released a few weeks ago. Oh, Dave, it's a bit of an interesting one because, you know, part of you says, kind of, why don't Forest just almost pay that money and try and find some agreement with the council to stay at our beloved City Ground by the Trent, which, you know, even as a neutral, if I'm trying to put my neutral head on, it's probably one of the most scenic locations for a football ground in the country, absolutely, potentially in Europe. So for Forest to move away, I just think it would maybe destroy the kind of, as Steve Cooper once said, the football soul that oozes around the City Ground. And that's my worry. I don't know whether you agree.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, I think the what stymied any, you know, redevelopment of the City Ground, Max, was promotion. Because I think had we stayed in the Championship, we, you know, the Peter Taylor would have been knocked down by now, and we would have been well into a redevelopment of the City Ground to take it to the 38,000 capacity that, you know, that was projected. But then you get to the Premier League, and you can't really play a Premier League season with your main stand not there. So I think it's almost like we were victims of that success that we had in getting back to the Premier League. I mean, in terms of, you know, unfortunately, money talks in every walk of life. And so, you know, if the council and Forest can't agree, you know, financial proprieties, then it may end up with us leaving. But as you say, mate, and you're absolutely right, I think we're so lucky with our home I think it's one of the great stadiums of the world, right? And I'm not saying that just because I'm a Forest fan. You've got a mystical river that flows past it and has flown past it, you know, flowed past it for centuries. You know, it's like there's an amazing little girl I know who goes to Forest matches, and they were doing the Normans at school, right? And she said it, and apparently in this lesson they're on about, you know, William the Conqueror and his forces in their boats came up the River Trent. And my little friend said, was the city ground there then? You know, you could almost imagine the Normans, you know, William the Conqueror and the lads on the boat going under Trent Bridge and went, blimey, there's the Trent End. Blimey, there's the Brian Clough Stand. You know, it feels like one of the great monuments of football in the world. You know, not just because we're Forest fans. I think it's a favourite destination for all away fans. You know, however good or otherwise the team on the pitch is, everybody who comes to the City Ground never forgets it. I mean, I know a lot of Arsenal fans, for example, who, when we played them at the end of last season, that game that we won 1-0 with 18% possession and gave the title to City, they all came out. They were devastated, Arsenal. The Arsenal lads, you know, and last season were devastated that they lost. But they were all, to a man jack of them, saying, what an incredible atmosphere in that stadium. And I think it's probably our biggest weapon. Because if we all raise our voices in that stadium, it's as stirring a sound as you'll get anywhere in world football. I know there are bigger stadiums than that, but you know, in this day of wearisome concrete bowls and redevelopments and all this kind of stuff, the City Ground has more character. I can only really think of, in recent times, the only other grounds I can think of that are even bare comparison with our fantastic stadium, like Villa Park, Craven Cottage and Ellen Road, all old-fashioned football stadiums that kind of reek of the history and the, you know, the fabric of football, you know, in our society. I think it'd be incredibly sad to move away from City Ground. I love it. I mean, yeah, if you walk from a certain part of Nottingham, you walk over the bridge and you see it there by the river, it's an incredible sight. It really is. And as a scenic location, Max, you're absolutely right. It's nonpareil. There's nothing to compare with it. You know what I mean? I don't really hope we don't go from there. It would take away, I think, a lot of the essence of what being a Forest fan entails. You know, it we love the team, and obviously we've got our history and our trophies that we've won. But it's the City Ground. It's just, you know, it's like if ever they kind of, I would hate any sort of sponsorship of it. So it became, I don't know, the Burger King City Ground or the Asda City Ground or the Lidl City Ground or anything like that. It's the City Ground. You know, it's a legend in its own right. I mean, what you have to remember is I think we were the very last club to go from being a private club to being a public limited company. So we have this tradition, and the City Ground is the hub of that tradition. And I would very much like not to move away from it. But, you know, mate, nothing ever stays the same, or very rarely stays the same. Probably the only thing that stays the same, or is going to stay the same, is the Trent is going to keep flowing past that beautiful, wonderful stadium of ours, you know. So, you know, I'd be very, very sad if we were to go. But the thing is, by what you're saying, Max, I'll probably be long gone anyway.
Well, fingers crossed not. Fingers crossed the stadium will be done by then.
Hey, you know what, mate? If we move from the City Ground in 33 years' time, and I'm lying there, and like, have they moved from the City Ground? And somebody goes, I'm sorry, Dave, they have moved from the City Ground. And I'll probably croak it at that point. That'll probably kill me off, mate. You know what I mean?
Oh, Dave, you do crack me up. Okay, just quickly, Dave, we always tend to do them in these previews. I hate to ask you a quick score prediction for tomorrow. I'm going to say Liverpool 2, Forest 1, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's what the one prediction site that I do look at, they've said it's a 2-1 win for Liverpool. I think it'd be a Liverpool win. What the score would be, I don't know. I just, you have to say that it's highly unlikely that we're going to win. And I'd rather do that than stick my neck out and say we're going to win. I said we beat Newcastle the other week. We lost. You know, I thought we'd get something at Villa. We didn't. It's probably, I'm 100% wrong, mate. So it's probably, if I predict Forest to get beat, there's more chance of them winning than if I predict them to win, mate. So it is difficult. I mean, the thing is, you look at some of the home games we've got to play. We've got to play Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea. You know, we've got some very, very difficult home games. I think our crucial games are the ones away against the bottom three. You know, we have to play Luton, Blades and Burnley. And, you know, if we need to make up in those games for what we didn't do, especially against Burnley and Luton. You know, those 4 points we dropped against Burnley and Luton at home, we must certainly try and get something back from those away games, you know. And my hope is, this is no disrespect to Burnley and Sheffield United, my hope is that their situation is hopeless by the time we go to Bramall Lane and Turf Moor. But no, tomorrow, I just can't see it. I would be deluded, I think, to see it.
Mm. Yeah, you just never know. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for some positivity that we're talking about. And also on Monday, we will do a bit of an in-depth discussion about the City Ground redevelopment and things like that. But we'll keep you updated here on the podcast. Just a few quick shout-outs before I go. A shout-out to Fan Park. If you've not been yet, it's great. It's at Binks Yard by the railway station in Nottingham. It's a great place to gather beforehand. And you might see my face on the screen, which probably puts people off coming, but you never know. Maybe Dave will pop along, so you might see him one day. So fingers crossed for that. So do pop along. That's a quick shout out there. Right, we'll be back on Monday for our main episode, reflecting on hopefully a Forest win against Liverpool, and then next week as well. Dave, thank you as always for your time. Fingers crossed as always for a positive Forest performance. And as always, if you do enjoy these episodes, remember to give us a like, share, and subscribe across YouTube. Drop us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Have a brilliant weekend, and come on, you Reds.